We are going to be starting a new series that is happening and coming about. In fact, if you'll look on the back of your outline, you will be able to see what our new series is going to be like. I thought I would put all of those there for you, because if there's somebody that you'd particularly like to invite or you want to make sure that you're a part of, because each of those are going to be the ways that God works in our lives. And so, for example, I am here. It's all the I Am series, and means God is always with you. And so if that's a promise that you need to be able to hold on to, or maybe somebody you know. And so going through all of those, you'll see all those titles that are a part of it. And so I hope that it'll be a significant encouragement to each of you as you are walking through the 40 days before, and then time after that as well. We are beginning our 40 days. We're on day 6. So if you're aware of where we are, we have devotionals for you, and it's practicing the presence of Jesus, celebrating his presence, and really feel that it's a great opportunity. We have enough of those that if you have someone you'd like to share that with, I know that there were several people in my life I wanted to share that with. So if you wanted to pick up a couple, there should be enough of those left over. We'd like to make sure they're all used. And so we had those for each adult. So if you did not get those last week, they were at the tables this week. Please feel free to be able to pick one of those up. There are other resources that are there. If you're going to be fasting in some way during our 40 days as we're looking toward Easter and toward that day, that's also part of it. So as I said, we're on day 6. So if you're reading your devotional, that's where you'll be. You might want to catch up on those. They're pretty simple to be able to catch up on as you're kind of going through. This is our closing one for the Guardian series that we've been doing, and hopefully it'll be speaking to your heart in some very significant ways as well. And so be the guardian. Never let up. Never let up. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege that we have of being here. Speak to our hearts today. Help us to hear your voice. Not mine. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Just to remind you that we have those resources not only here on this campus, but also at our Sunbury campus too. And so you can pick those up at the in the back there, and to make sure you have those resources available during our 40 days. As we're talking, Paul really makes a critical statement. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. I have remained faithful. What an incredible statement, because, you know, no greater statement could we receive, or message could we receive from God, when he says, well done, good and faithful. Yes. And so we know it really, every one of us has the capability of being faithful. Now, we all have different capabilities, we all have different gifts, different strengths, different ways that, you know, that God works in our lives, or different talents, but we all have the capability of being faithful. And so that's what's really important, as we would understand, so we would make sure that we could remain faithful no matter what. You kind of think about what Paul's saying in this last chapter. You know, he's kind of closing these two books that he has written to Timothy, kind of given all his kind of last thoughts before he would close. And I kind of thought about those, about how important it is and how we would see that, and as we can understand. First, I want us to understand, guard the calling that God has given to you. Guard the calling. He says this in that first verse to Timothy, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. In other words, use the spiritual gifts God has given you. God has given every one of us spiritual gifts. When you receive Jesus into your heart and you're born again, that means the Holy Spirit comes in and lives inside of you. When the Holy Spirit comes in and lives inside of you, you now have His Spirit that helps you to know you have a spiritual gift. Now, you didn't have this gift before you had the Holy Spirit in you, or otherwise it would just be called a gift. It's called a spiritual gift. And so a spiritual gift means you only have it in you because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And so that's important that you would understand. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, every one of us has a spiritual gift. Maybe more than one. You know, look at Romans 12, and you can be able to look at those spiritual gifts. And you see how God will use those and work through those in your life. Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. You start to see any of those listings of spiritual gifts. And you can say, okay, where is mine? What is mine? What is my spiritual gift? And how does God want to use my gift in my life through me? And how does He want to make a difference? Now, spiritual gifts are given to be used in the body of Christ. Now, that's why some people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, you do have to go to church to use your spiritual gifts because that's where they're used. They're in the body of Christ. So it's pretty much implied in Scripture very clearly that we need to be a part of a body to find out how I use my gifts and what I do with them. So Paul reminds Timothy of this as well. Preach the word. That's part of his spiritual gift. And it's part of the way God's going to use his life and work through him. And that's important that he says, fan into flame. Don't let things distract you. Don't become discouraged. Don't let other things pull you away. Always be ready to use your spiritual gift, no matter the timing. In other words, what's he say? He says this in the scripture, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. That means we should always be prepared. It may not be convenient for us, but it doesn't matter whether it's convenient. If God's put it on our heart, He's given us the ability, then we do it even when it's not convenient. And we make ourselves available even when it's not. And we say, yes, I'm very willing to do this. I am very willing to be available. And so God will use that and work through our lives. God's word has been given as a measuring rod to assist in correction. He says, rebuking and encouraging. So God's word will do all of these things in our life, but we have to make ourselves aware of what His word is. We have to put it into our lives and allow it to teach us and help us to see what He wants to work. So patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. That means the Word of God should. I often have people say, boy, you really stepped on my feet today. And that's what the Word of God should do. It should make sure there are times when it makes us a little uncomfortable. And if we didn't get uncomfortable, then we're not going to be pushed to move in a new direction. We get real comfortable where we are, and so the Word of God needs to make us uncomfortable to move us to a little bit further up the road than what we've been before. We should also be on guard, as there are those who will not want to hear your words. There are those who don't want to hear your words, and they don't want the truth. Here's that process that they go through. Step one, there are times when people will not want to listen to sound and wholesome teaching. I think, you know, this has probably been true all through history, but we see it so prevalent today that people want to just kind of go where they'll hear what they want to hear. They'll kind of move themselves to a place or to a church or to whatever where they can hear only what they want to hear. And if it's not what they don't want to hear, they'll kind of keep moving along because they want to hear only certain things. A time is coming when people no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. No, they're going to kind of keep wanting to just hear like what makes me comfortable, what makes me feel good, what makes me happy. They're not going to want to go any further. Step two, there are times when people will just want to follow their own desires and will find those who will teach. Rather than fit their lifestyle to the follow God's word, they'll make God's word fit their lifestyle. That's kind of what we see over and over. It's letting the culture dictate our belief system. And we can't let the culture dictate. We have to let the word of God dictate our belief system. And we can't let the culture do that. That's going to always get a dead end for us spiritually. So we're going to have to make sure we're so aware of what does God want to do in our lives. They will follow their own desires. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. And so they'll continue to follow only what's convenient, what works, what fits my lifestyle, what I'm comfortable with. And so they don't want to hear things that make them uncomfortable. Step three, there are times when people will openly reject the truth and follow their own belief systems. We're pretty much at a cultural thing at this point, and people will just follow their own belief systems. Because if you start talking to people and ask them, well, where did you get that? Well, it's just what I believe. But, like, what's your basis for that? And they don't have a basis. What they've done is they've collected little ideas from all kinds of things and put them together and developed their own belief system. Now, those belief systems have holes in them because they're not logical. Because when you start following them through, you're going to find holes all the way through them. Why? Because it doesn't have a solid belief system in that sense that they can be able to follow. So what they've done is they've absorbed several different things, which says this is exactly what would be happening. And that's why the Word of God is so true and it's so important that we would adhere to directly to that and know that that's how God wants to speak to us. They'll reject the truth and chase after myths, their own belief systems that they would be able to set up. I just think God's word is so clear and it speaks to us so clearly about the dangers and the warnings that are before us. And it's so appropriate for everyday life for us as a result. Be on your guard as you share the good news. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. It will require a clear mind in every situation. Emotions cloud our thinking. When we allow ourselves to be emotionally distraught, emotionally upset, we allow ourselves to be like overcome by those. It doesn't matter whether it's fear or anxiety or anger or jealousy, whatever it is. All of those emotional things, when they come in on us, they cloud our thinking. And we can't have a clear mind in those situations. And that's why you can't make decisions based when you're in an emotional state. You wait till the emotions settle down and then talk about things the way they should be. If you could only remember that in our own relationships and our own decisions, you know, because right at that point when you're feeling all this emotion, that's not the time you should address something. That's not the time you should say something. You need to make sure that you wait till you can get the emotion settled, and then you can talk about that the way it needs to be. While you're still emotional, it's going to cloud your thinking, and you will not have a clear mind. And that's why, you know, in every relationship, if we could just keep that as our focus, what a difference it could help make. You should keep a clear mind in every situation. It may require suffering for the Lord. When you share the good news, it may require suffering. He did say, we're all going to suffer at some point. And that's very much a part of life. It's a very much a part of what it is. But we may also be very rejected as a result of we want to share good news. Everybody doesn't want to hear your good news. And so we have to be really aware that it's not always going to be received well, and that's okay. That's okay. We just do what God has put on our hearts and where we need to be. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. And three, it'll require a conscientious work on your part. We're going to have to be really thoughtful and really conscientious about what he's trying to say. So work at telling others the good news. So it doesn't always just flow. There's going to be conscious thought and a conscious awareness that God wants to work through that, and he wants to work through you, and you're going to have to make choices and decisions to make sure that that can happen. It will require fully carrying the responsibility of sharing the good news. You know, we are the light of this world. And God has called us to be salt and light. He's called us to be able to really make a difference in the world around us. And so you need to live it out in your life. People need to see it. They want to see it even before you say it. If your life is not really saying it, then your words are going to be wasted. They want to see it. They want to see it in who you are. They want to see you living that life and believing that. And so it's very important that we would carry the full responsibility to make sure that that is the case as God works through each one of us. Paul closes this letter by a number of details. And I thought it would be kind of interesting to think, what do these details reveal to us about Paul? What do they show us as we try to walk through this? And how can that help us to be able to see how God wants to work in each of our lives? First, Paul had the need to see Timothy, he says, as soon as possible. There are always going to be critical times in our lives when we need the encouragement of others. He says, you know, come to me as soon as possible. It tells me something about Timothy, what a strong person he was and an encourager he was in Paul's life. It tells me something about Paul's need. Now, we think of Paul as a superhero spiritually, right? We think of him at the top of the heap. But even at the top of the heap, you need encouragement. Doesn't matter who you are, you need to have that kind of support. And sometimes you need it as soon as possible. And so that helps us to be able to see a little clearer picture as we're seeing Paul and being more aware of that. And it could be true for our own lives as well. He said, please, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. As soon as you can. Don't waste time. I just need to see you. I need to have you here. That's such an important part, an important piece. Paul said, had the disappointment of losing a coworker in sharing the gospel. He said, there'll be great times of disappointment when we lose those we love in ministry. You know, it doesn't matter what we're doing and where we are, we're going to face times when people are going to disappoint us. There may be times when people don't even intend on disappointing anybody, but they do. I may disappoint you. I have no desire and goal to do that. My heart is pure and I would want to do the right thing. But there may be times when I would disappoint you. We've got to be aware of the fact that all of us are going to face disappointing times. The bigger question is, how are we going to deal with disappointment? How are we going to respond to it? How are we going to handle it? Are we going to let it become make us bitter and angry and pull us off track? Or are we going to say, you know, Lord, you probably want to use that in my life to help me be more understanding, more compassionate, more caring, more loving. You probably want to use this to help me grow in my own journey because we're all going to face that. We know that Demas, who had served with Paul, was a co-worker with him. He deserted him. And because the things of this life had become too appealing to him, and so he left and went back. Paul was disappointed in a coworker that he had lost in that way. Paul's ministry coworkers had moved on to other ministries. This happens, and this is good, but it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that we're not moved by that. He said, there are going to be times when you feel alone in your ministry. Because what did Paul say? Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Now, Luke wrote the book of Luke and also the book of Acts. And so, and he was known as a physician. So he was with Paul at this point, and he was probably doing a lot of the writing of what Paul was having him write, even at this point. And so, but he said, only Luke is with me. He was disappointed. He was aware that it's okay, it's all good, but sometimes we just feel that loss when others would leave. Paul had the need for Mark to join him. Now, do you remember who Mark was? Paul, remember how Paul and Barnabas, they separated sharply over Mark? Because Paul was very, very insistent not to bring him. He left them before. He disappointed them. He was young. And he said, he will not be along with us. And so it actually became some sharp disagreement. That's what the scripture uses, the word sharp, that they separated and they multiplied the journeys that they did, their mission journeys. But now, what does Paul say? Paul says this, bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in ministry. So now Paul sees him differently. There was room enough in Paul's mind to give a second chance to Mark. There was room enough that second chance to be extended and honestly evaluated. You know, we have to do that in our lives. We can't hold things against people and not let them grow beyond that. We have to always be willing to let people grow beyond whatever the mistake, whatever the letdown or the disappointment we face with them. We have to grow beyond that and let them grow beyond that. Or otherwise, it becomes a barrier to their growth and to our relationship. No, Paul was willing to see bigger than that. We see also Paul travels. Paul's travels required him to be easily mobile, but his worldly possessions were minimal. Not a lot holding on to Paul when he says that. What does he say? When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Troas. Oh, yes, and bring my books and especially my papers. You see what had become valuable to him at this point? His physical protection, he needed a coat. It was going to be cold. His books and his papers. What would be the three things that you would list if you had somebody bring them to you? And you would say, there are three things I would want you to bring. My phone. I mean, you would come up with three things, right? Pretty quickly. And you would say, those are the things that are really important in my life. You see, as we would see, he said, we should always be aware of what is really important in our lives and what is unnecessary. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, it's temporary, folks. Whatever it is, it's temporary. Don't let it get such a hold on you that you think more of it than you should. It's just temporary. The fact is, Paul put out the warning of the damage that was done by Alexander. At this time period, you could kind of be a little more upfront. There weren't as many liability suits, I suppose, as there are today, so you could be a little, but he was very clear. Alexander has done a lot of harm. No matter how committed you are to serving the Lord, there will be those who will seek to do you harm. And they may cause damage to the cause of Christ. There's no guarantee that that's not going to happen. And that's why he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. I can't do it. I have to let this go. He did me a lot of harm, In other words, no matter how much you are committed to serving God, it doesn't mean you're exempt from others doing harm to you. It's still going to be there. And so Paul was very clear in helping to understand that. When Paul faced the judge, everyone abandoned him. He says, when he said that in the scripture, he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. I'm sorry. I wanted to go ahead. The first time I was brought before the judge, that's where I wanted. No one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against them. Those were Paul's words. So when Paul faced the judge, he said, everyone abandoned him. There are times when you will feel like you're the only one remaining faithful to serving God. There are times when that's going to happen. You're going to feel like it's only us, no one else. But it's not true. Make sure that you're careful not to let yourself sink into self-absorption and self-pity. Be aware that God is working in a lot of ways and through a lot of different things. Paul was reassured that the Lord was with him. You are never alone in following God. He is always with you. He will always deliver you. He said, the first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. I'm sorry, I'm going the wrong way. Here it is. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in the entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. So Paul was reassured that the Lord was with him. Remember, you're never alone when you're following God. He is always with you, and he will always deliver you. Let me just share in closing. There's such an importance, be the guardian so that you finish strong. Some of you are young in your spiritual journey. Some of you are older in your spiritual journey. Some of you are coming to a close in your spiritual journey. But I want to say, no matter where you are in that journey, be conscious of the fact that we need to finish strong. I want people to be seeing Christ in me more and more as I continue to seek after him. I want to make sure that I am finishing strong in my personal journey, in my walk with the Lord. Paul was saying this as he was saying, as age continues, reflection becomes stronger. We start to have more to look back on. I think that's what it is. Keep focus on what you're doing for God, as those are the only things that are eternal. Everything else is just not going to last. I have some very sad illustrations in my own life and experiences, because I know of a number of pastors who are friends who in their last years ended up either in an affair or an immoral situation, in a place some have been in prison because of. And I think your whole life was thrown away by one moment and one choice. Why would you do that? Why would you undo everything you've done all your life to make a difference in the world? We have to remember what's eternal and what's temporary. The things that are eternal, we want them to be taking with us. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. I want to make sure the Spirit of Christ shines through me more than ever. I don't want to be a grumpy old man. I want people to see Jesus in me wherever I am, whether it's in the hospital or whether it's in a home or whether it's in my workplace or whatever it is. I want people to see Jesus in me. And that's what we need to make sure. I keep focus on what's really important. Paul says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death, it's near. It's getting closer. And so he's more and more aware of it. There's no greater compliment than to hear the words, he has remained faithful. That's what we want to hear. Every one of you possesses the ability to be faithful. Every one of you has the ability to finish what you start. You just have to be determined enough to say, God being my helper, that's what I want from my life. I want people to say, he remained faithful. She remained faithful. Yes, that's what I want to hear. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. God has a crown of righteousness for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. It's just excited to see Jesus. That's got to be in our hearts. It's got to be in our lives. And he says, I have a crown of righteousness for everybody if you're excited for his return. The fact is, he said, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Don't let any temptation keep you from finishing strong. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. Whether it's things or whether it's people or whether it's possessions or it's whatever, it's not worth it. Be determined to finish strong, because God says he wants every one of us to be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. That's what God wants to hear and see in each one of us. If that's your prayer and God's been speaking to your heart, would you just stand while we close? You say, I want to be remain faithful. I want to be known that way. God's speaking to my heart, and I want to make sure I'm living exactly where he wants me to be, and nothing else is going to take me away from that cause. Father, you know each one that is here. You know what you put on our hearts. Lord, we desire to be faithful. We desire to make sure that nothing else would take the place of you in the first place of our hearts and lives. We want to make sure that whatever we face and whatever is before us, we will be known as those who were faithful. And you will use us to light the world around us. Let's all stand. Father, go with us. I know the prayer of everyone is that we might have fought the good fight, we'll have finished the race, and we will be faithful. It's by your grace that that's made possible. We love you, and we give you our praise in Christ's name. Amen.